Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zola.
I think it's a disaster.
Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
First down. Oh, Sims levels.
There might be a reason to put him in that. Holy cow.
That was the biggest hit we've seen of the night.
And watch the toughness of Matt Sims getting right up.
Take a listen. Kind, not kind to Matt Sims on that play.
.617-779-0985. We'll still mix in your Celtics calls. But I did want to mention the AAF. The Alliance of American Football began a weekend. Did you watch any of it?
I watched a little on Saturday, yes.
I watched a little yesterday, and I'm told I watched the wrong game because it was dreadful.
When someone's head comes off and you think the head's still in the helmet?
I saw some highlights that were ridiculous. I saw some great highlights. I did not see a good game, but I've got to sample it some more.
I think they're going to let this team, this league hit, and actually hit and destroy people. I like it. Football's back. Yeah, mic'd up. It's good.
So there
uniforms are weird.
There are some key differences. Hello. There are key differences. There are no extra points. You must go for two. There
no kickoffs.
Is a rule that prevents you from rushing more than five players at the quarterback. Yeah. What?
The quarterback doesn't have to worry about reading the blitz.
No kidding. And you know what? Given the quarterbacks,
this is like Pro Bowl.
Given the quarterbacks I've seen in this sport,
that's good for them.
In this league,
they need it.
They need that rule.
Yeah.
No onside kicks. And there's a sky judge that helps with player safety review. Mm. We'll get to more in the review.
Sky judge.
Nice.
Sounds better than booth official.
AAF officials will have the assistance of the sky judge, who can make player safety calls from the press box, as well as PI calls with 5 minutes to go in the game.
Ooh, interesting.
So, like, for example, Saints in the NFC title game?
Yeah.
Less than 5 minutes to play?
No, take a look.
Sky judge could have weighed in on that play. I'm like, nope, PI. Pass interference. The sky judge. The AAF will have a ninth member of the officiating crew called a sky judge, who will be in the press box and can instantly correct obvious and egregious officiating errors. The sky judge will use real-time technology to correct clear errors involving player safety anytime during a game and pass interference inside the 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Sky judge. Sky judge. But the level of play, though, sucks. It's not there yet. It's first week. I'm not going to judge it based on what I saw yesterday, but...
Well, you know,
I like that they exist.
You know what they say? The first week of AAF season is really just a continuation of the preseason.
Do you think this
which
is going
to work? Which has been forever.
Do you think this will work and will last?
No.
I don't think so either. Here's my question. How is this any different than the UFL, which ultimately folded?
Not. It's not different.
Not different.
Same.
How's it different? I mean, there are differences in terms of how the game is played versus XFL first go-round. But I asked this about the XFL, which is coming back. What's going to make it different in the second go-round than the first? What will make it different?
I don't know. The buzz that opened that XFL opened up with was crazy, man.
Yeah, and it didn't last.
No, it didn't last at all. You're thinking, oh, this is cool. They got a team in Vegas. They got He Hate Me. You know, they had some crazy-ass dudes on
it's like T-Bone just said, you really don't know what kind of team you have in the AAF until St. Patrick's Day. That's really the benchmark for any AAF season for determining whether or not your team's going to be any good. You got to wait about 6 weeks. Then we'll find out. Then we'll find out if they're any good. They're not. If they were good, they'd be playing in the NFL. There'll be some high level of play. There'll be some plays. There'll be a few things. But with football, part of the reason why we watch it so intently when it's on is because we don't get it all the time.
Right.
You get it from the preseason, if you watch preseason football, you get it for 4 or 5 months, and then it goes away for a few months. And you kind of reset. You might pay attention to other things.
That's brilliant.
Other sports, family members, whatever. You do other things
with
your life.
It's about 6 months a year that you can get out of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's great.
I just think, you know, it's the first weekend without football, and I think it's brilliant that they sort of opened up on that weekend. Because if you're flipping around like I was Saturday night, that game, that AAF. That AAF game, the inaugural AAF game, beat the feature NBA game of the night in ratings.
It did a 2-1 versus a 2-0, according to Darren Revelle.
Now, you watched it here in the city?
I watched it yesterday.
That's weird, because I always thought you couldn't get AAF in Boston. You had to go out way further west.
I see what you did.
I tried to watch it. It was very staticky.
Hardy BCN is back. BCN Hardy is here.
Yeah.
Didn't they go on two signals for a while?
Yeah.
Did they go Super back to one?
Did they go Super Bowl?
I think they're back to one.
I think so.
Yeah.
Are you going to sit down and like become invested in any? This is the biggest problem.
And this is what I see.
Unless you're invested
story.
In
it. The ratings, 2-1, did beat out the basketball game. Mm. Number one, okay, so what?
Right.
Number two, I would say, is that going to hold up next week or the week after that or into the month? Into the month of March? What's going to happen? Are people going to watch the AAF or are they going to watch, you know, NCAA tournament games in March? They're not watching AAF football anymore.
Nope.
Sorry.
All done.
It's not going to hold up. So, yes, the weekend after the Super Bowl, they can get their 2-1 rating.
Sure. Just like
on the opening weekend of their existence, where people are sort of curious to know what it's all about.
Yeah.
It's all downhill from here, baby. Mm. All downhill from here.
And if you're not going to get anybody invested into any kind of a local team, which you saw the turnout at that stadium for the game that was shown on Saturday night.
Sure.
It's like people locally didn't even care.
Correct.
How are you supposed to care on a national level?
And there's it's like minor league football, and you can get into that. There's such a hunger for people that love football, that want to watch more football. Well, we've got college football. It just happens to play during the same period of time that the NFL plays during. And by the way, what other minor league sport are we putting on national television and people are watching?
None.
Zero.
Zero.
Zero. Not in baseball. It doesn't happen in hockey.
Junior Olympics, if that.
It doesn't.
Well, we've got it. It's called college.
Well, no, because that's a different draw. Because
totally different draw. He's
people
right
watch college hockey.
Right.
People watch college football.
I'm saying
they'll even watch the College World Series. I mean, that is things they will watch. When's the last time you saw a minor league baseball game on?
Well, that's
and those are all guys that were, you know, in theory better than what they were. They were the best guys on the teams that were playing in some of those college sports.
But I'm saying that audience is already served. Now, it may not be served at this time of year. But you want like a different level of football, you know, something underneath the NFL,
a slightly different game.
College,
yes.
Same thing for basketball, same thing for baseball. For those who watch college baseball and hockey, it exists. It's already there. There's only so many eyes and so many hours that people can devote to watching things, and those things are taken up.
Like for example, tonight is the Beanpot Finals. Would people rather watch the final of a Beanpot, or would they rather watch a Providence Bruins game? They'd rather watch the Beanpot. They don't want to watch minor league anything. So there you go. There's your answer. I don't think it's going to do well.
They serve liquor at the Beanpot?
I think they do.
I remember there was a time where they didn't. Like all my buddies would go for it for like 20 straight years. They always get together with their frat guys, and they would always get juiced up because they never sold alcohol.
Well, it's not an NCAA event. So.
I know, but I think.
And by the way,
there was a time they didn't have the liquor.
That rule's been rolled back, by the way.
Okay,
the liquor rule
at
the NCAA.
Good.
It's up to the schools.
Yeah.
During regular season stuff, it's up to the schools.
Good.
Okay. There are some interesting elements though, and I think this is what could come of the AAF. I think there is good that can happen with the AAF. Which I watched in the city, Hardy. There is some good that can happen, not for the AAF, but for the NFL.
Oh,
Why don't we talk about that? And also more on the Sky Judge coming up next.
Scott Zola, Mark Bertrand, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Remember the Titans. Sunshine.
617-779-0985. Get right back to your calls. Give me 1 second. This is what I wanted to say on the AAF. Here's what it can become. A laboratory for the NFL. How do these rule changes go? How does no kickoffs go?
Yep.
No extra points must go for two. I don't think they'll ever go that extreme. But they're going to watch some of the things that happen in this sport and see if it's any good for them and whether or not they sure. might want to adopt it.
Hey, people bitch about the overtime rule. You know, like, oh, Kansas City didn't get a chance to get the ball in that. Eventually, you could maybe score the touchdown and have to go for two.
By the way, there's no field goals in overtime in AAF. None.
Very collegiate-like.
No kick and almost. Field goals to win. Yep. So they've eliminated that. There are rule changes in this sport that maybe the NFL could look at and say, well, let's study how their league is doing with it.
Right.
How does it look?
The no kickoff rule is a big one.
That, to me, is the positive of the AAF. The different rule ideas
yeah.
can be put to test in a real sort of simulated fashion. That's what can happen. That's where the advantage is for this. And that's about it. That's all the good I could come up with, because a lot of it I don't think is
right. No, but I think that's really it.
I think the quarterback really, play is going to be putrid.
It's not going to be a stepping stone for like the next wave of pros. What you're going to find here is like a third-team tight end or maybe a backup tight end or a third-team linebacker or a special-team core guy. You're not going to find a high-end receiver or quarterback out of this league or a marquee pass rusher. You know, you're going to find that guy. You're going to get that guy in the top 15 picks in college. That's what you're getting at first round. That's why you do all this stuff at the combine.
No, this is mostly guys that couldn't make it in the NFL.
Right. You hear some of the commentary the other night. Well, this guy was in here for 23 months with the Cleveland Browns, or this guy was here and that, and he bounced around with two different teams. Guys like Sterling Moore in there. Say there's a couple former Patriots in there still trying to hang on. Hey, they're making $83,000 a year. They signed three-year deals for $250,000. So you're making about $83,000 a year. Some of these guys probably can't make that if they're out there in the real workforce. So you play a couple months, play some football, and keeps you around the game, and maybe you'll get a crack if you're lucky by knowing a former coach or two. That's about it. This is not going to be a stepping stone to the NFL. It's not a farm league, so to speak.
617-779-0985. Back to your calls, including calls on the Celtics, which is what Barry in New Bedford wants to talk about. Hi, Barry.
How's it going, guys?
Good, Barry. How you doing?
Watching the end of that game Saturday night, you kind of wish Doc Rivers was still the coach here. Because Brad Stevens' biggest flaw, and this is coming from college, is dealing with these egos, these superstar egos, and trying to manage minutes and get these guys to play as a team. They're talented to win a ton of games because they have so much talent on the roster. The problem is getting these guys to play together consistently, especially towards the end of the season where you're making that playoff run. Brad Stevens has never had that type of experience because the years he's been here, Irving was out last year, Hayward was out. So you had a lot of young guys, and it reverted back to when he was here, his first 3 or 4 years, where they were overachieving, and they were playing his system where you take a lot of shots, you hit a lot of threes, and you score a lot of points. When Irving and Hayward come here, he's had problems dealing with all these egos. Marcus Morris kind of said it. These guys are playing for themselves, not really playing as a team. And that is on Brad Stevens, not so much Danny Ainge or even the players for that.
So part of it is on the players, though. I mean, you don't get to just say, oh, the players don't have a good attitude, they don't want to play for each other, therefore it's all on the coach. Like, the coach is a part of it. Because it's, at some point you've got to look at the top and say, well, who's the boss here? Who's the one that's sort of dictating terms to people? And at the end of the day, it comes back to the coach. I would even say the roster itself, if it needed a change, and this is like sort of a reach, but at the deadline, if this roster was so bad and they didn't buy in and they didn't get along with each other, maybe you should have thought about shaking that up. Or maybe you've got much bigger plans for the offseason to shake the group up. Maybe that's all part of it. Maybe there's an understanding of what's going on with this team in some sort of level of acceptance, as in, yeah, we're just going to fix it in the offseason. We're going to fix it when we get to the offseason. We're not going to get too concerned with it now. Teddy and Chicopee. Teddy.
Yeah, it's about the Celtics. The last two games, losing when you're way ahead like that. The players aren't playing together. And as for the coach, he doesn't call timeout when they really need it. He just stands there. He doesn't even address the players. And like I said, a lot of it has to do with him. And the players don't want to play together. Like I said, the Celtics are stuck this year with a dead team. Thank you very much.
Okay, Teddy. Appreciate it. Appreciate the call.
Good call.
Stuck with a dead team.
Dead team. Coach doesn't know how to use timeouts.
Mike is in Marblehead. Hi, Mike.
Hello.
Hey, Mike, go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, I'm calling. I got inside information coming out of Trenton, New Jersey. And no one's talking about this, but Kyrie Irving is good as gone, right? And my second thing I want to say is about Gordon Hayward.
Well, how'd you get out of Trenton? They have one of those minor league hockey teams there.
Let's pause. Mike, where's he going?
Yeah.
He's going to play for New York. Where do you think he's going?
Well, okay, I'm just making sure. Oh, yeah. And you mean the Knicks, of course. The Knicks.
Gordon Hayward should be playing in the G League. He has to be one of the worst free agent signings in the history of the Celtics, right? And the problem is with that team right now, Gordon Hayward's the student, and he's the teacher's pet. He should be riding the pine because he sucks, but yet he's playing every night.
All right, Mike, I was hoping for a little more out of Trenton, New Jersey. Wondering what was going on there, where the inside info is coming from. Good as gone.
That almost sounded like opinion more than it did information. I mean, not to...
Well, I don't know. If you get him,
he said he's got Trenton. Inside information from Trenton. He's as good as gone.
They have a hockey team in Trenton.
What hockey team would that be?
ECHL. No hockey team.
Yeah, you've been... So you do watch a lot of minor league sports, huh?
Sean from Chicago used to play on that team.
That's why you know.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah. Yeah, I got some information.
Kyrie
out
might
of,
be as good
Trent,
as gone.
New Jersey.
What if the team decides trade off the young core, get Anthony Davis, and then tell Kyrie, "Hey, we're going to get Anthony Davis. You want to stay now? You want to stay? You sign a deal. He'll sign a deal. Let's get everybody on the same page. And maybe we're looking at a completely different group next year. And you don't care that the group doesn't buy in and get along right now. I'm allowing for that possibility, Hardy.
Yeah, you should allow for it, but." But these guys not getting along, and anytime these conversations come up about not having fun, you know, they're not gelling together. It's remarkable when a team wins how much having fun becomes less important, or how easy it is to have fun when you're winning games.
But it's also about, I think what he's speaking to is not enjoying being around one another, right?
I think they'd enjoy being around one another if they won some big games. If they had, you know, gotten that win against the Lakers. If they hadn't blown the big lead against the Clippers. It does wonders for morale. It could turn on a dime.
It's just that
just like that.
It's just that we've had these sort of hints all year long that there's something weird about the dynamic of the group of guys they have on the team.
Yeah.
And it's not new. It didn't come out of nowhere.
But it doesn't come after a win either. It's always after a loss. Or after a
they
couple
won
of bad
10 of
losses.
11, and then they had two bad losses. So was it the bad losses that caused the bad group, or was it the bad group that leads to a bad loss?
You want to know what really started?
What comes first, the chicken or the double-yolked egg?
What came first was Rajon Rondo embarrassing you on your home court. That really stuck in their craw, as well it should. I mean, that's as humiliating a loss as you can suffer in front of the crowd there at the Garden.
Yeah. At least they had LeBron.
Yeah, but it wasn't LeBron that beat them at the end. They had that team beat. They had LeBron beat. And it was Rondo who ended up beating you.
I'd say Saturday's loss was much worse. As bad as that one was, yeah.
That it gets personal. All of a sudden it gets personal because it was personal. The guy who hit the winning shot against you, that felt personal. And now it gets personal with your teammates. The guys who you were out there playing with, that together you couldn't beat that one guy, or if you want to put LeBron in that same group, those two guys. Yeah, it starts to, it no longer becomes about basketball. It's like, well, what is about this guy that I can't play with him? Well, you can. You just didn't win. If you go out there and win, I guarantee the feeling is a lot different.
Kevin in Foxborough on the AAF and NFL.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Hey.
So, Zoe, you said you don't think it's going to be a stepping stone to the NFL, which
no,
I
don't.
Which I agree with for the most part, but what about in 2 years when the CBA is up and Goodell's going to...
If it's still around, I mean, that's another big thing. Like, when does the money run out, and when do you...
All right, but finish that thought. Let's say it's still around, yeah. and what is it about the CBA that is going to all of a sudden turn the AAF into a feeder league for the NFL?
I think what he's suggesting is NFL players are then going to go play in that league. There's a big problem with that, though, and that is that it's $83,000 a year.
Bingo.
And they're not going to play for that amount.
I was thinking the opposite way. What if Goodell gets the players from those leagues to play in the NFL for a lot less money while he locks out the NFL players?
Then you're called a scab.
Those are replacement players.
Yeah. Exactly.
And when the other players come back, they'll lose their jobs.
Yeah.
He's got a much bigger pool of players that he could use to replace the players and force them into another bad CBA.
I would think...
And do you think that would be good for the league?
No. I would think by now, Kevin, that professional sports in this country have realized that replacement players are never a good idea.
Yeah.
Never a good idea.
And once you cross that line, you'll never play with those role players.
Yeah. Not necessarily true. I mean, there are guys from 94 that were signed up to be replacement players that made it onto rosters. I mean, Brian Daboch.
Flutie.
Kevin Millar. Both replacement players. Doug Flutie was a replacement player. He made it back to the NFL with the Bills.
Yep. San Diego, too.
So to say never is a little bit strong, but...
Right. I think it'd have to be a unique situation, but... It had to be a high-end skill player. It's just like, I don't know if the league will have even been around in 3 years. I did games for... What was that thing? I don't even remember the name of the damn league.
UFL.
UFL. Had a team in Hartford, coached by Chris Palmer, my former coach. Actually had a couple of real players in it. That thing folded quicker than anything. And once fans don't show up, they don't pay to go, and people, you're not going to see it.
The UFL had four teams. Their first season was in 2009. I think it was 3 years they lasted. I think. I'll double-check that. Yep, lasted 3 years.
3 years too long.
Oh, actually, wait. Did they play in 2012? I think they may have. Mm. So the 9, 10, 11, 12.
I think it was 12.
Played,
I did a...
Yeah, so they played four
I
years.
Did a game in 12 on Nesson.
Yeah, they played 4 years. The league lasted four years. Can the AAF last 4 years? If the UFL could do it, I think they could do it. They've got a better contract TV-wise.
And I think you have better people to set it up, guys. Like, say what you want about Bill Polian, but the guy knows football. You know, a little direction. He's helped build some teams. Knows what he's doing.
617-779-0985. Hardy has our headlines. Did you see that Bob Costas was on ESPN over the weekend? Griping about getting kicked off the coverage of last year's Super Bowl? Yes or no?
Angry little guy.
Did you see it?
Yeah, I did not see it, but I heard about it.
All right, we'll tell you about it coming up next.
Hey, that was quite a rant there.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Listen to replays of our shows.
Well, what was that?
And original podcasts.
Yeah, there we go.
Click on podcasts on our site at 98.5thesportshub.com. Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times.
Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
It's possible to say football is an exciting sport, but there are these undeniable problems. The issue that is most substantial, the existential issue, is the nature of football itself.
And so it was that 1 year ago, just weeks before he was to host his seventh and final Super Bowl, Bob Costas was removed from the telecast. It all began to fall apart on November 7th, 2017, at a symposium in Maryland.
The reality is that this game destroys people's brains.
ESPN Outside the Lines reported over the weekend and had Bob Costas on talking about how he was pulled from the Super Bowl.
See ya.
Yanked from Super Bowl coverage. Last year, like it was some sort of high crime that the NFL did last year with Bob Costas. Can I ask a question? A very simple question. The stuff with Bob Costas speaking out against the NFL had gone on for years, correct?
Yeah.
right?
I think so, yeah. Sean McDonough was also pretty outspoken doing the Monday Night Football stuff, you know, about referees and, you know, injuries and that stuff. Yeah, Costa has been doing it for a while.
Well, I would say that the first time that Bob Costa spoke out against the NFL was on Sunday Night Football 2010.
He does his little poem, his little very poetic.
The halftime speech.
Yeah. The world according to Bob.
He said, week two, 2010, more and more is being learned about how the now undeniable link between concussions, especially repeat concussions, mm-hmm. and subsequent problems with dementia, depression, early onset Alzheimer's, and an entire array of serious medical problems stemming from an injury that is more common in football than in most other sports. Here's the truth, Costa said. America's most popular sport is a fundamentally dangerous game where the risk of catastrophic injury is not incidental, it is significant. That was the major points of his speech back in 2010.
Okay.
During a broadcast of football, NFL football. So that happened in 2010. From there on out, I mean, you can understand the NFL didn't like that. They were publicly denying there was a link as late as 2010. That there was a link between head trauma and the things that players were suffering from later in life, which is just so laughable. How the NFL was in denial for so long. And history will treat Bob Costas far more kindly than it will treat the NFL. Because they've lying through their teeth for years on this stuff. So that happened in 2010. He wasn't pulled from the Super Bowl until 2018. So they just let 8 years go by before they did it? Doesn't that sort of tell you that he did not get pulled from NBC?
Well, they have it, like, what, every third year?
Simply
rotates?
Because of him being outspoken on this topic? Wouldn't they have pulled him a lot sooner than that?
Yeah, you pull him that year. Or you pull him that week.
Like, he was leaving NBC, is what it came down to.
Yeah.
And they didn't feel the need to include him on the broadcast, and they pulled him off the broadcast.
When did they shift and they went to Rico? When did Rico go there? 3 years ago?
Was it two? I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, they started to realign some things.
Exactly. Because you know why? Costas was leaving and everybody knew it.
Yeah.
And he knew it, and they knew it, and he wasn't getting another contract. And so they pull him off the game. So is part of it what he said? Yeah, that's undeniable. Of course, the NFL probably does not like Bob Costas one bit because he's spoken out against them. But is that really the entire story?
No.
Bob Costas speaks out against the NFL, no. Therefore he gets pulled from the Super Bowl?
No.
He'd been speaking out against the NFL for years, and he wasn't pulled. Doesn't that seem like it's some sort of cry for attention over something that is not fully about what you claim it to be about?
It's more of a woe is me from Bob Costas.
It feels that way.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Patriots have been outspoken about, you know, the commissioner and the way the league has handled things and suspensions, yet they don't get penalized any more than what the normal is.
And by the way, Bob Costas didn't say anything that was wrong. I mean, he's, again, like I said, he was the guy who spoke out about it and said clearly there's a link between head trauma and what is happening. Whether it be ALS or Alzheimer's,
sure,
or any of these things that are happening, dementia. He was stating the obvious. Now, the NFL, they didn't like it, but they didn't pull him off in 2010. They didn't pull him off in 2015 when the concussion movie came out, and I think he spoke about it in a lot of different public places as well.
Right.
It wasn't just this one thing in Maryland. I mean, he did the whole talk show circuit at the time talking about it. They didn't pull him until 2018. How can you just...
8 years.
There's no way that was the only reason he got pulled off the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah.
No way. So don't buy that. And by the way, that of course is not beneath the NFL to try and take someone off a broadcast because they're speaking out against their league.
Oh, I agree with that.
I mean, come on. Of course they would do that.
I mean, Bob Costas is a pretty popular guy. What it is. Guy does the Olympics.
Is he?
Guy did the NFL.
Seriously, though.
Yeah,
is he?
Sure.
Who's he popular
with? His household name. I think so.
Household name is one thing. Yeah. Well known, yes.
Yeah.
Popular? As in, you know,
I don't sit there and say
Bob Costas and say, oh, I love that guy.
I don't sit there and say, oh, my God, this NBC broadcast has really dropped and lost a peg to me because Bob Costas isn't on it.
I always think of him more as a baseball guy.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know.
I
just feel like he's a baseball
What's
guy.
What's weird is
he used to do baseball. He used to do play-by-play.
I feel Olympics. See, I hear Costas.
Well, yeah, but that's once every couple of years.
I know, but it's still like it's ingrained in me.
Okay,
like
of the American professional sports, I associate him most closely with baseball. Yes, that's what I do. I never really understood why they had him on at halftime of football games anyway. I never got that.
It was weird. They did that. They did some kind of weird little minor league or midget league.
It was always some sanctimonious bullcrap that he would have at halftime.
Yeah.
I didn't enjoy it.
Right.
I didn't get it. Like, what's the point of this? Why do you have him
just
on?
Let him go to the bathroom before anybody else. And...
But I'm not fully buying this story that that's all it was. I'm not completely buying that. That the only reason he got kicked off was because he spoke out against concussions. It took him 8 years to do that? 7.5 years to get him off? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
It's got to be more than just that. Not taking that one at face value. Darnell's in Quincy on the Celtics. Darnell.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, what's
what up?
What I think is getting lost in all this is the potential that Jaylen Brown still has as a player. And I'm to the point now where I'm sick of this Kyrie, Anthony Davis drama. I'm to the point where I just want to let Kyrie walk, forget about Anthony Davis, build around the team that they basically had last year, and just continue forward with that.
Yeah, talk to you in 3 years then. Yeah. I mean, we're finally at the point where you have marquee superstar-type players here. Planet-type players and Kyrie Irving. Hey, Al Horford committed to come here, and he got the whole train rolling. That people actually want to come to Boston now. And now you want to go completely press the reset button, get rid of Kyrie Irving.
Because of the potential of Jaylen Brown?
Jaylen freaking Brown. The guy who probably really started this turmoil with this team this year, because I think he was the most outspoken since day one when the postseason started. How many rings are they going to win? How many championships? East goes through Boston?
Right, I'm just like, I'm not making my roster based on the potential of Jaylen Brown.
Yeah. Like, he'd rather keep Jaylen Brown and continue to build. Keep the build going.
Not doing that.
Jesus, what, Brad Stevens going to be here 13 years
no, thank
before
you.
The build comes to fruition?
It's your workday made tolerable.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, why not us?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Buckle your chin strap.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Right now, caller 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a Valentine dinner cruise aboard the Spirit of Boston this Friday night. Your most memorable Valentine's Day yet is waiting on the water. For you and your sweetheart aboard Spirit for dinner. Visit spiritcruises.com to book your Valentine's Day cruise today. If you're caller 10 on the contest line only, 617-931-0985. You will win. You'll be cruising. You'll be sailing. That's what you'll be doing. The wind, the water, the ocean. 617.
Ahoy.
Ahoy.
Out on the wind and the water and the waves. Isn't this a breakthrough? That I'm sailing?
Baby steps.
Let the boat do the work. That's my trick.
617-779. 0985. Celtics calls and also football calls like this one from Kevin in the car.
Kevin. Hi, Kevin.
Yeah, I love you, Zo, but I have a beef with you lately.
Okay.
Last week I called and I had argued against adding extra replays, and I used the Clement catch as a reason why extra replays aren't going to help anything because they still are going to get it wrong after looking at the replay. You argued that the Clement catch was because they changed the rule before the game.
Right.
But you argued kind of, it sounded like in the NFL's favor, as if changing the rule before the game and not telling either team.
No, it's bullcrap. I couldn't stand it at the time, but that's the ruling they gave. And that's what Gene Steratore said.
It's not acceptable.
It's not acceptable.
Without informing either team. That's the craziest. I've never heard anything like that in sports history.
That was the explanation Steratore gave after that game.
Okay, then now, all right, let's move on to today.
Okay.
Today you said, and it sounded like in the NFL's favor, which, again, like, this is nuts, but, you know, I have to call you. You said the Patriots speak out about the NFL, and they don't find them any worse than they do other teams. What? You said that, though. You really said that. You said, it's no, because you were making a case that Costas didn't get screwed and whatever. I have no opinion on that.
If they really want to put the screws in New England, they would have, you know. I mean, they find the money.
Yeah,
they took
they
picks.
Did.
They've actually helped keep a quarterback actually fresher than lettuce when he came back in week five. Don't forget, Edelman got suspended this year, too.
He was
healthier at the end.
Very happy with that.
You suspended two of their biggest players, and what did they do in both those years? They went on to win Super Bowls. So suspend somebody else that's a marquee player next year because we'll keep them fresher at the end of the year.
Hey, I get it, and I get having the fresh guys is a good thing. But
no other teams would survive this, is what I'm saying, really, though.
I totally agree, but they definitely, in the past, maybe, I mean, you know, I know it's 5 years ago or whatever, but in the past, they have screwed the Patriots harder than I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, see, because I don't really look at that Spygate thing as a big deal. A lot of people do and say, well, okay, you're a second-time offender now, so we're going to really put the screws to you with your quarterback and all that, you know? There's a reason they went out and hired Dom Capers, because I think there were some people within that thought maybe the head coach was going to get suspended.
Yeah, all right. Well, thanks for taking
my call. All right, buddy.
All right, Kevin. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
The rule change is completely... It's not even a rule change.
We went nuts.
There were
when
no rules changed.
I'm not going to go nuts over it again.
They didn't change any rules.
The way they look at the catch and what is not a catch is
what
changed.
They just decided to call it differently before the game.
Yeah, we're going to let them play. We're going to let our eyes dictate it.
It's absurd.
Yeah.
Absolutely absurd.
Yeah, then it's a catch.
That game was on yesterday again.
Yeah.
That game was on against the AAF, and I watched more of that game knowing the result than I did the AAF.
Yeah, my kid made me turn it off. He's like, Dad, we can't watch Super Bowl. They lose it. Can't do it. Sat there for what days? I can't tell you how many times I went back and watched that game.
Matt's in Hyde Park. Hey, Matt.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey. Hey, no.
What's up, buddy?
Hi.
Hey, listen, I got a quick question to ask you, because you were a pro at one time. And, what puts a little fire under your belly than getting maybe sent down to the minor leagues or maybe getting cut a little bit and someone saying, hey, listen, you're not good enough. You're not playing well enough on this team. We're going to send you down, get you slapped around a little bit. We'll call you up when you're ready. Why don't the Celtics do that with some of these overpaid bums that they have on their teams? I mean, like Gordon Hayward. I mean, like the kid that called earlier said it the best.
So you want to send Gordon Hayward to Maine?
In the sun. It's like the father in the sun. It's like this guy is like being like, pushed along. Come on, Gordon. You can do it. We know we all have faith in you.
Yeah.
You know, that's not good enough. That's not good enough now. The Celtics fans want to win now, and that's the end of the story.
Not really. I mean, we had a call. We had a call 10 minutes ago and said, get rid of Kyrie Irving, press the reset, and build around these kids. Talk to us in 3 or 4 years again. Yeah. Had one of those calls today. Get rid of Kyrie Irving. Because he likes Jaylen Brown.
I don't think that call's alone.
I don't either.
There are people that think that the team will be better off if they move on from Kyrie Irving.
Because people don't forget how
if
the team played.
If they let Kyrie Irving
the year,
walk and they build around their young group of players.
People will not forget how they shut.
And that,
when they shut Kyrie Irving down, how this team played.
That includes keeping Terry Rozier. We heard that call quite a bit last spring. Let Kyrie walk, keep Rozier, build around the young guys.
If Kyrie didn't say what he said, a week or so ago, I don't owe anybody anything. Talk to me on July 1st. If he didn't say that, I think people got gun-shy now because of Kyrie Irving fearing that, holy crap, this guy might walk. Yeah, there's a possibility of it. And Danny Ainge comes on our morning show and says it's kind of like an engagement. We're engaged right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Billy's in Waltham. What's up, Billy?
Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, guys. Sorry, I had to take you off speakerphone. I'm hoping for some Cliff and Rob's coffee shop, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
We can do that.
So anyway, I feel like people have been overly negative about the Celtics. They've been one of the best teams for like the past few months. And they had one bad loss, and I feel like everyone's jumping ship and people are going nuts. Trade everybody. It's the coach's fault. Danny needs to be fired. It's gotten ridiculous. Like, this is ridiculous. They won so many games lately. It's been stupid. And they had one bad game, and everyone's ready to
trade. They've had two
trade.
Bad games.
They lost a buzzer beater. It was a bad game, but like could have gone either way. And I feel like Mook's comments get taken a little too far. I feel like he's a competitor and he, after a loss like that, he was just like, it wasn't the time to be talking to him. You know what I mean? Like he was going to say something like over the line or something stupid. I don't know.
So what about what he said was stupid or over the line?
Well, not like stupid, but like, you know what I mean? Like,
no, I don't. I have no idea what you mean, actually.
I'm saying like he's a competitor and like after a loss like that is not the time to be asking a competitive person like a question like that or you know what I mean? Like he was just not in a good mood. His flask was empty.
When's
he was
the better pissed. Time? Is it after they blow 20-point leads in 3 straight games, 4 straight games? I'm just curious, Billy, because you
cutoff.
Are the one. I mean, it's 11:59. I was wondering how long it would take today before we get the Celtics fan who says, no, not bad losses. Apparently to Billy, it's only one bad loss, not two. He needed a loss. And the very rational, calm, cool, and collected Marcus Morris No. He was the wrong time to ask that question. You can't believe anything that he said, despite his demeanor, which was completely relaxed and serious. You can't ask him that question after losing a bad game, after a bad loss. Wrong time to ask that question.
Over the line!
It's over the line or stupid. He's either over the line or stupid for his comments on Saturday night, which is ridiculous. And they've been playing so well that you just don't even pay attention to these last couple of games. Or last one game in Billy's mind. Everything's great and they'll be fine. Yeah. I just think you're detached from reality if that's
okay.
The case. Okay. You can't have those two horrible losses, the two worst losses of the year, followed by those comments and say, oh, no, it's just...
Everything is fine.
This was just a weird week.
Are they the only team locally that didn't get the beat LA thing? Maybe someone should have called them on.
Everyone else seemed to get
the... Everybody else got it.
Celtics were good. I mean, Patriots did it. They were good.
And really, like, the beat LA thing is a basketball thing. Like, that's what's even crazier.
Yeah, two, they had two cracks.
Should have been for that.
It's not really a hockey or football thing.
Two cracks at it. They went 0-2 this week on that front.
Right. Huh.
I think there's something to be said for Marcus Morris not being, you know, worked up or irrational. It was none of those things.
Right.
In fact, let's hear it again. Marcus Morris comments from Saturday night. We played it at the top of the show. Why don't we hear them again, just in case we missed something or he was being stupid or over the line.
Maybe we're out of line.
I want to hear him again. We'll do it in 90 seconds.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Line MA.org.